That's what God, I'm trying to. He's acting organized. Brand new today.
Mic check 1-2.
Yeah,
1-2.
I should have listened to your podcast before. Yeah, would you? Yeah,
definitely. Thank you. Definitely. Yeah. We on iTunes. We'll be on iTunes.
Right. Right.
This is what happens when your friends are like, hey, can you come in and just hang out on the podcast?
That's what it is.
But I just want to clarify that it was late yesterday that I got the phone call to be on it today. So I didn't have time in between my mommy duties to listen. I'm so sorry.
Well, it's an old new wave. It's a new wave.
We're back because you guys took a break.
Yes, we did, actually. Yeah. So, Street Senators.
Yes.
Podcast. Lorenzo Lamont. iTunes, Google Play, all that. SoundCloud. You know what I mean? We're everywhere. We call it an old new wave because it's a new wave. Everybody's catching on, but we've been doing it for at least 10. Let Zoe tell it.
10 years? 10 years. Because, you know, I remember that you guys started it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
See how you see? See how the cosign? We got to bring people in. So that voice you hear is the voice of none other than radio professional, TV professional, formerly of BET, formerly of WKYS in D.C., formerly of NBC News Traffic, formerly of...
PGC, I got a lot of formerlies.
PGC, you were on the morning show, PGC.
Yes.
Formerly of...
Formerly not married or had a baby, but now formerly I have those things.
Formerly,
no, presently,
I have those things. Formerly, not married. Mommy rocking. Oh, okay. Yeah, you know how that is.
Danella Honey D.
Oh, you took it back! Yes, I should have said formerly blonde, thus the Honey D.
Is that was you blonde?
Man, you know who started that dang Honey
D? I don't remember that.
I don't even want to say.
Who started it?
Zoe, your boy.
Lorenzo.
Daryl?
Nah, so we were on the live squad, right? And I used to have blonde. Stew.
Shout out to
Peace
Stew.
Because I was like, I'm D. And they were like, but you got blonde hair. And then I used to tan Honey a lot. Honey D. I don't like being this pale. Yeah. So they were like,
wait,
Honey
Stew
D.
Stew came up with that?
So what happened was, I'm still saying D, but on the air, they keep referring to me as Honey D. So then when I finally get a job, I'm like, no one's going to know I'm the same person. Mm. So then I took Honey D, but I never liked it because it
isn't
sounded
that,
crazy.
Isn't that crazy? So here's when you try to get other
literally,
work.
Yes.
When you try to get other work, did you want to be the same person? Because that was a good way to separate.
So literally. Yes, because I saw older people having crises. They were like, I don't know who I am. Oh. Like, they were like, you know, the world knows me as this. TV knows me as this. You know, who am I when they get older? So I knew
true
it was
that.
Important
no,
to
you
be
know what?
Who
I'm,
you are.
I'm dealing with that
right
now.
Now?
Yes, oh, right lazy. Now. Oh. Because, so like last night.
Are you
night,
no longer lazy? Just I can stop saying that. I'm so used
you
to
you can
lazy.
You can call me. I
well, you
answer
grandpa,
to
you grandmothered in.
Okay.
You grandmothered in, so you can still call him lazy.
I answer to it.
You will, but you're Lamont.
But I don't bill my myself as Lazy Lamont. So I answer to Lazy for people that know me from that era.
Right.
Right. But right. You're Lamont King.
You
Mr.
can't
King.
Yeah, you can't not know me from that era and then call me that.
It's, right, right.
No way. But I'm dealing with that because
but why? So what? I mean, obviously
why the change or why?
No, you don't want the moniker anymore because of what it insinuates?
No, yes. Okay. Yes. And then maybe I'm in my head on that, but I've come across so people irritate me, basically.
And it's good to see some things don't change.
Yeah, and a lot of older white cats irritate me. I put it all the way out.
Okay.
And so you come in somewhere on some professional, you paying me with a check, and it's real. I'm about to do a job for you. It's like, oh, you're lazy. Oh, so you don't like to do work? Did you just get up?
Right.
Do you sleep in? I'm like, listen, partner, it's a nickname from a radio station. Like, knock it off. You know what I mean? But when I lived in Hollywood, I didn't want to have to run into that. Because, they got the corniest jokes. And it just started to annoy me.
Right.
It's like, oh, lazy. Oh, you don't. Are you shiftless, too?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
And then I tell this story all the time, too. When I got to L.A. the first time, John Sally, I was working with John Sally. And he said, he was like, he's real mild-mannered. He was like, change your name, fam. And I was like, wow, I built this brand. You know what I mean? I was on Rush's show. We won in 60 cities.
I was the man with
this
name.
He was like, change your name, fam. And I was like, why? Break it down. He was like, you out here with these Jews. Mm. They write checks. They don't write checks to nicknames.
Mm.
And I was
that's
like,
true.
I was like, oh. And then I was like, well, what about Cedric the Entertainer? Mm. He's like, I bet you his full name is on that check.
Yeah,
and
by the all
time,
the way.
And by the time you knew him, he was already a star.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay.
Because we didn't know him before he was Cedric the Entertainer.
Right.
Yeah.
So now what I'm dealing with is I came back to D.C. and I go to different markets where I was on or whatever. Hey, Lays, what's up, Lays?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm with it. So I did an event last night, and I had to, when they asked me, they'd be like, send your bio. Mm-hmm. When I'm hosting events or whatever, like, send your bio. So I make sure, in quotations, Lamont King.
Uh-oh. Right.
They'd be like, okay, and they'll send it back, and they'd be lazy. And like, nah. Uh-oh. Get that up out of there. Right. You know what I mean? So last night.
Because you're a grown-ass man, too.
Yeah, I'm a grown man, too. Yeah, and I can't, and a nickname with a misspelling.
Yeah.
It's cute and cool. Now, if I ever needed to use it, like if I was in somewhere, they'd be like, we want to write you $1 million check, but you got to be Lazy Lamont like you used to be. Guess what?
You're going to be Lazy Lamont.
I'm Lazy
Lamont.
Yeah, all the way. All the way.
So last night I did a black tie event, man. I was emceeing this Watkins Awards Gala, which is flat out amazing.
So this is in D.C.?
What is it?
This is in D.C. They've been doing
it. No invitations? Because you normally travel for it.
Well, yes. Yeah. Well, it's been in D.C. for 5 years.
Oh, okay. I thought you was like you used to go like Ohio LA. No, and LA. L.A.
Yeah. Oh. So it's like a it's the National Alliance of African American Athletes, and they spotlight and celebrate high school black male scholar athletes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
it's
nice.
Basically like the Heisman. I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm talking about with the pageantry and everything of the Heisman.
Top tier.
Wow.
So these dudes, this class, this year's class, every year they recognize four nationwide, mm-hmm. four to five finalists, and then they pick a winner to represent for the following year. Mm-hmm. And then once you're in the brotherhood, every year you're an alumni.
Okay.
So going back 27 years.
So you still keep coming.
And they keep coming. Yeah. So you got NFL players in there. You got Super Bowl winners was in there last night.
Yeah.
Old Redskins or whatever. And they come and embrace you and do the whole black man.
Like it's a fraternity.
Like it's a frat.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's amazing because, so these individuals, one was from South Carolina, one was from Chicago, one was from Tampa, and the other one was from, I forgot where he's from. But their GPA is like 4.8. He's like, I'm Nicholas Petit Frere. I have a 4.8 GPA average.
Not 4.8.
4.8.
Wow.
4.8.
And playing football.
That's crazy. And playing football and doing community service.
Wow.
And helping his father.
See, we don't hear those stories.
You don't not hear those stories.
It was no media in the room. No media in the room.
Wow.
And so it's like, it's incredible because, like, I mean, these dudes is cream of the crop, top of the top. Like one dude, my man Mateo, he said, when he graduates high school in next month, or at the end of this year, he'll have enough. He's dual enrolled. He'll have enough credits. He'll get his AA and his high school degree at the same time.
Mm. Wow!
He'll have his associates walk across the state.
Yeah. Mm.
I've been out of school 30 years. I'm still working on finishing my associates. He got it finishing high school, so it's amazing. So go online NAAAA. nm4as.com and y'all check it out because every year the reason why I didn't invite you because it's $250 per seat.
So
it's $200.
I'm glad
feel free to donate. Take checks and all that. You write donations, but it's amazing, man. Like that's some stuff you just don't see or hear about.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been with them for about 10 years. I've done MC the banquet for about five or six of them, but it's like the coolest thing, and they treat it like the Heisman, and the award is like some big body type. I mean, the award is huge, and it's like a Heisman.
Mm-hmm.
And all these dudes like play football and got high GPA. And I'm like, how? But how?
Mm-hmm.
One of their most famous alumni, like, so Shane Battier is one, LeVar Arrington is one, Jameis Winston is one. Those are some of the bigger names.
Yeah.
But one of their most famous ones is a dude by the name of Myron Rowe. He went to Florida State. So Myron Rowe was one of the most highly sought after wide receivers coming out of college at the time.
What year is this?
I can't remember. It's like 06, 07 or whatever. When I tell the story, you'll know who it is.
Okay.
He skipped the combine. He skipped the combine to go get looked at by these teams to go study abroad. He got a Rhodes Scholarship.
Ooh.
He's a neurosurgeon now.
What?
They said he's still fit enough to still play.
Wow.
At this time, right now.
Right now.
Wow.
Right now.
Wow.
But he rathered
be what he does.
Go get that education.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
He turned out to do a year of study abroad. He turned out to Columbine and drafts and blah, blah, blah. And it was real political, too, at the time because it was, you know, when he came back, teams didn't even invite him to camps.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we're learning. We're seeing now. We saw this past year with all the foolishness that surrounded the NFL, how political they are. And they don't like players that they can't control.
Mm.
So if you a brain, you've proven that you a brain.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You ducked us last year to go study.
Right.
And now you come back and want to play. They shut the doors on him.
Oh.
They shut the doors on him. And he was still
nice.
Wow.
Yeah, he was still nice. But you know, league like that, they want to be, they want somebody they can, a muscle head, a, you know, a jar head, mm-hmm. that they can control and be like, dangle this money. You know, you're gonna make this money. He's right. Like, oh, I'm gonna make this money anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm good.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So it's amazing. So the Watkins Award, I did that last night, and my name in the program, Lamont King, and yeah.
Like, you feel some kind of way.
I did. I was like, yeah. And then they put in quotations, Lazy Lamont, because that's, I wrote the bio, you know. When you write your own bio, you got to, you know what I'm saying? But
in honesty, I remember meeting you way back in the day. Mm-hmm. And you was, you know, interning for the Russ Parr Morning Show. And you was telling me all you did for the morning show. And I remember, I was like, but what about this voice? Oh, yeah, that's me. And I was like, what about this voice? You was like, oh, yeah, that's me. And I remember saying to you in my youth, then why are you called Lazy Lamont? Because you come in before everybody. You leave before, you leave the last. You're the last one to leave, the earliest one to come, right? That's how I would see you.
Right.
And you were always innovating ideas. And I was like, but you're not lazy. And then you said, that's what makes it funny.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Is it funny?
It was.
But see, nobody got that. Nobody knew.
No one knew how hard he really worked, because you also were like, you know, kind of chill when people see you in person,
right.
And not know how creative you were, how much work you actually did. So.
Right. Yeah. Those were the days to see full circle. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Especially with you. I remember when we saw you on the news doing traffic. I was like, but how? Because like, I don't even understand how traffic works, or weathermen, like, what school do you go to learn
that? So there is a traffic school, and let me say, yes, because I didn't know how to do traffic.
I didn't know it was a traffic school.
If you saw me the first time that I did it, I was looking crazy. I'm trying to figure out how to work the green screen like a robot. I remember Tigger was like, yeah, you'll warm up, you'll get a little better. And I was like, thanks for the support. But yeah, I went 2 days to traffic school. Basically, NBC, they were cool in that way. Let me tell you, my training, it was ridiculous. So first of all, people who know me knew that that job, I should not have done it, in a sense, because I still use Google Maps, any kind of mapping system to get anywhere. I mapped my way here.
That's perfect though, right?
And I've had to map it. Yeah. I'm not naturally, can you decline that call? Sorry, I have to call her. Anyway, so yeah, man.
Traffic school.
I came, worked at NBC for one entire month. Mm-hmm. I didn't announce I was on air. I rode all the train systems, like Metro. I had to get off the escalators and walk so that if the escalators broke, I can say, oh, you're at blank escalator. Ah. It's going to be a long walk. Bring your flats. Mm. And then I had an actual traffic reporter. We rode in the traffic so I can say, oh, if you're coming up 66, it's going to be thick traffic. Then I learned the green screen work, but that was only like not enough time. It was a couple hours, like for 2 days.
And then they just throw you on camera.
Oh, literally. That's how TV is. I mean, every job you ever get. But they wanted me to be a pro. They knew that I could deliver it in a conversational way. But I was like, you realize I have a terrible sense of directions. I'm the person who is like, where did I park? I am currently traveling to this station, and I'm from this area and still mapped it to get here.
That is right down a major street.
I got to go to Whole Foods after this. Guess who's going to map it? And these aren't jokes.
Not down the street.
Isn't that walking distance?
And it's walking distance.
Yeah.
I just be in my own world. I'm in my own world. See, anyway, how do you do it?
Yeah,
you can learn it.
Yeah, I would be on there. I'd be like, you know, you go in, there's an accident, 14th, and, you know, you're going to make two lefts to get up out of there. That's how, I mean, I would present it like that. You make two lefts.
Right.
You're going to see, I give you some landmarks. It's like, it's going to be a pipe head, you know, in the gutter. Watch out for him.
Yeah, see, we can't do those kind of landmarks or the pipe head.
Yeah.
Because I would be like, oh, you know, the homeless man, remember when you by BET and the man had the bush? You'd be like, oh, make it right there.
Yeah, yeah.
But you'd have to say, oh, you know, by the McDonald's or by the,
Wow.
Yeah, so it was interesting. A lot of research. But yeah, it was really, I called it slanging traffic.
Yes.
I slanged it.
You did.
So you did radio and TV. Mm-hmm. Which do you prefer?
honestly, I remember when I left radio to do television, I started out in radio, and what I had missed about radio and still miss is the immediacy of it. Because you could have something happen in your life and then go on the air and the next day and talk about it.
Right.
And you can have other people in that moment, like, with you. You know, like I my perfect example of this, and I'll make it fast, is that I was coming in and I was running a little late and I was mad. And I said, my co-host at the time, I said, we changing the show. Today's topic going to be road rage. And I'm going to talk about this driver that nearly ran me off the road. So I'm on the air and I'm like, yeah, man, we talking about road rage. We want to hear your stories. Best story. You get tickets. I'm going to start off with mine. I'm driving in. And this car, literally, it's like, why can't you stay in your lane? You need to merge. Somebody called on the air. And so the producer took it, was like, they said that they was the person on the road. I said, no way. So they was like, yo, D. I was like, yeah, what's this? Who's you? And they was like, nah, man, you ran me off the road. I said, I didn't run you off the road. I said, who are you? Who is this? Somebody setting this up in another room. I was like, what car do I have? He was like, you was in a silver Miata. I was like, oh, snap. He was like, you was on Georgia Avenue and Aspen Hill Road. The right lane ends.
I feel like I remember that.
The right lane ends. It ends. Your lane ended and you ran me off the road. I said, I want to take this opportunity to apologize and thank you for teaching me this lesson.
Yeah.
Right, and so I missed that because now, when you're on television, you don't have that.
Yeah, and you on radio, you can hide your facial reactions
to everything, and you don't have everything. You could.
You can be like, okay, that was a good call. Great. That was a great call. You'd be like,
that sucks. Your face would be like, that sucks.
Or this, take him off the air. No one sees that.
Now it's funny that you said and you used the word setup. You thought you were being set up on that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where's this going?
So in other news,
okay.
In international news,
okay.
Because
it is international.
Zoe said he found a story on an international blog.
No, wife, you told me. Excuse me, I just put something in my mouth. But
really?
Pause.
What kind of show is this? Go ahead, guys.
Putting stuff in.
She's just surfing, and a UK paper. It might be whatever the big paper out there. I know it's more than one, but
right, a popular.
Yeah, a popular one. She says, oh, why was the KYS incident?
Why fiasco?
Fiasco. All of that. Mm-hmm. Why was it being reported on the UK,
United Kingdom?
Wow.
Paper.
Great Britain.
Website. Whatever. Right. And so I was like, nah. And she was like, yo, they said. On-air personality or DJ walks out on air.
That's the headline.
The headline was that.
International newspaper.
And I'm like, no way that London was talking about.
So let's get some background on Famgate, because that's what I call it, Famgate. The Fam in the Morning is a local DC morning show. And the other day they had one of the co-hosts brought up. She was bringing up a story from her personal life,
right?
About
what she tends to do.
What she tends to do about her looking for a nanny or needing a nanny, and she said someone applied and sent their picture, and she was like, "Oh no, you look too pretty to be in my house. I'm not." She didn't say. She said that to herself. She didn't say that to the person, but she declined to hire her.
And she told the story.
Told the story on air, but she didn't say that she told the girl.
Right.
So the other two hosts took it upon themselves the next day to find the girl.
Now wait. So did they find the girl, or did the girl reach out to them?
I'm giving what's known.
Okay.
Okay.
They find the girl, brought the girl in, which turned out to be a bit of an ambush because she wasn't expecting her to be there. And the girl who was applying to be a nanny came in saying, you know, that's unfair. You pretty shaming me. You're insecure. Da, da, da. So
now that's new. Pretty shaming is new? Is that new?
I feel like I just,
I think it's new.
Yeah,
I haven't heard pretty shaming.
I feel like I just
shaming.
Made it up.
Oh,
I mean,
oh, nice.
You'll hear it. Hashtag. You'll hear it again.
Yeah. Hashtag pretty shame.
Pretty shame. She pretty shamed her and blah, blah, blah. So there was this big
I got handsome shame. Hashtag, I got handsome shamed.
That's not a hashtag.
My entire career. So it was a big blow up. Everybody got emotional. Callers is cussing. You know, people is clapping. You can hear people in the black. Don't you ever, you know.
Yeah.
And then she got up and walked off the show and then went into the next room and did a Facebook Live and was emotional on that. And it was viral and the internet was on crazy. Yeah. And
it was a trending topic.
It was a trending topic.
Yes.
In the world.
That's why UK was reporting about it.
Right. Oh, yeah. I see. Yeah,
so then the next day, there was some subsequent backlash, and the two hosts were not there.
Male hosts.
Yeah, two male hosts were not there. I don't know if they were on timeout or whatever. And it was all the female personalities from the radio station in on the show in solidarity, a sister circle. And the owner, founder, and
chairwoman,
the Honorable Miss Kathy Hughes, sat in on the show for the whole 4 hours.
Yes.
Wow.
Major.
This was, was she on for the whole show?
The whole show.
I didn't hear this part.
She was on the whole show.
Wow.
So it was just a major industry event.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so let's go back. Now you know the story.
Okay.
So people start hitting me when it was happening, right? And me.
And people also making their own critiques.
People lie in real time.
People
on Facebook, yo, it's crazy what's going on. I would have never let that bitch in my house. And you know, they you know what I'm saying? So it was split. So people had their opinions on, you should have a final say on who you hire
that's working in your house.
Or you shouldn't hold that against her because she's pretty. You should be more secure. And
somebody said that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, wow. I didn't read those comments.
How old is your baby?
2.
Okay, so
we have a nanny.
Oh yeah, full time. What she look like?
Let me tell you about our nanny.
Okay.
Before our nanny, I have to just put this in because our nanny Paula is amazing. She's married. We knew that we wanted our child to be bilingual, so we wanted a Spanish speaker.
Mm. Okay.
So the first woman we were going for, she was very gorgeous, right? Mm. And I remember thinking like, she's gorgeous.
Is this cool. A soap opera?
Let's do the background.
She's very gorgeous.
No, she was gorgeous, beautiful. Yeah. She was killing it. Cool, beautiful. We messing up our shots. Be careful shaking it. So yeah, she's beautiful. And what happened was I thought she was very nice. So we did a criminal background check and her background check didn't come up good. She basically had, they call it like insecure seat belting. Basically you riding around with your child without a seatbelt on the car seat.
Yeah.
So that's why, my point is that's why I didn't give her the job. And that's when we got our nanny Paula.
Okay.
And so I see Paula's more as like a sister. I don't feel any,
All right. So let's go back. What does she look like?
I think she's beautiful, but
Paula?
Paula. I'm talking about
the other woman. I thought was more of a competition in the sense that she was like more out in the world. You know what I'm trying to say?
She was sassy.
She was sassier. Where my nanny is amazing. Like she's like Christian, loving, But to me, when you're thinking about competition in a woman, I feel that there's many factors. It's not just that you're beautiful. It has to be also like, oh, you're beautiful, intelligent, or maybe you're a model where all your breasts are hanging clothes.
Let's back up a couple things.
If
the first one had a clean record, would you be fine with her in your
house? I was hiring her, but I can't hire you if you don't put seatbelts on your child.
Let's strike that from the record. But her being beautiful and she may wear low cut tops and all that.
Okay,
you cool with that in your house?
Let's be clear what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. If you're thinking about someone rearing your child, because to me, that's what a nanny is. If you got my child 8 hours a day, you're a family member.
Yeah.
Okay? What I want is for that person to prioritize my child and not themselves in the 8 hours.
Okay.
So if they come into my home, for me, I need them to be an extension of me.
Right.
So I would, in theory, not be hiring, not even gorgeous or not gorgeous, actors, models. I'm hiring, my child is bilingual. My child at 2 knows English, ABCs, Spanish, ABC, colors, English, Spanish. He's learning words now.
But what if she was a dime? She could be beautiful.
I'm saying, but if she was like, my goal in life is to be a model,
right.
I would say, boo, do you, your goal in life.
What if in her previous life, she was a model, but now my goal is to be a nanny,
but I'm still sexy and hittable.
Listen,
let's be honest. Anybody is hittable. Yes. How many people have gotten with nannies that you're like, yikes?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right. You're like, how did you leave your wife? for this particular maid. So to me, it's not that. Like, to me, I see it as, I understand what her point is. If you feel any level of insecurity, that's cool. You got to do what's best
for you.
And
she's self-proclaimed insecure. She is self-proclaimed insecure.
Well, then she's got to do what best for her.
But she also said, and we're talking about Danny Starr.
Judge that,
On KYS's Fam in the Morning. Mm-hmm. She also said that most people are insecure.
Mm-hmm. They are.
Just different levels on the spectrum, right?
Yeah.
So when the girl came in, I don't know her name. That's why I'm calling her the girl.
They never said her name, never put a picture up. I thought that was odd. But go
ahead. That's kind of weird.
No, it was fake.
I was trying to find the picture, too. Just if we go back 1 second, you said that they contacted her, and I was like, how, if it was in the other girl's
I don't know if they contacted her.
It was in Danny's DM.
I think she might have reached out to someone else.
No, because Danny showed them the DM, but she never said her name.
So maybe they remember. How did they reach her?
That's easy.
But did she reach out to them or did they reach out to
her? They went and got her. That's easy. You're not
you
on social
they
media.
You think found her.
That's
easy. All right. Well, anyway.
Okay. That's easy.
So what we're asking is whether or not she has a right to do that.
Yeah,
and I feel that at the end of the day, it's your
as
right.
As Danny.
It's
Danny, of course.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yes.
So that's the thing. Like, me and Lazy was talking. We was like, yo.
That's a 10-second conversation.
What is the debate?
Why is this a big deal? I don't get why. I agree.
Him, like, you know what I'm saying? As a father, as a mother, like. Like, my wife wanted to have a
Manny?
She actually did. Like,
not a Manny. My wife not that crazy.
Wait.
Let me
so
clear that up.
A Manny in the crib?
Not at all.
Yeah, well, we talked about a Manny.
Unless it was a family member.
See?
Why not?
See?
That'd be weird to me. Like, I don't know.
Why is it weird?
Oh, yeah, why is it weird?
Because it's socially weird.
But don't you think men can be, as a father now?
Yes.
Still socially weird.
So what if you thought he was more handsome?
If he was more handsome and more like, he was cut up and he was.
And he was your wife's type.
And
would you hire him? No.
See, that's a double standard. Why?
It is a double standard.
Why not?
But no, you still agree that even for women, they cannot do it.
I'm handsome shaming. Because I've been handsome shamed.
Yeah.
So I'm a handsome shamer. You know what I'm saying? I have no problem with that. But I get it. I get what she was saying. And I think
it's
everybody
no question.
Should.
Yeah.
Because if I was hiring for Urban One as a manager, director or something.
Uh-oh, don't get yourself fired. What you about to say? Yeah, don't
just let another company.
No, let's use this one. Okay. If you're pretty handsome, all that doesn't matter to me.
Oh, good.
Can you do the job?
I thought you was going to be like, I agree. That's to me. Can you do the job?
If you come to my house,
those
other factors do matter.
Okay.
How you look and how, you know, unfortunately,
well, let's
it
be
does.
Real. Period. How you look matters because you can't go get a job looking like you just shoveled manure. You know, it'd be hard for you to get a new job. We are face value of people that make decisions. You know,
good point.
So again, why are we really judging her harshly for what she feels?
Yeah, right.
Like, well, it's a no brainer.
That's what we could understand. Yeah. So it's like, okay, so what is this whole? Why did this trend internationally? Mm-hmm. Like, what was the big deal? It wasn't because she walked off on the air, because that's happened before on TV. Mm-hmm. Remember the girl in Alaska or whatever? The woman in Alaska?
They quit over the weed.
Walked out on air. Yeah. So that was a big story, but that happened on TV. Mm-hmm. To me, I couldn't really understand what's the bigger.
Well, it's emotion. It had a reality feel to it.
I know. That's what I felt like.
And we're into that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So, like, Love and Hip Hop.
And it was
radio.
On International. Was it Women's Day?
It was International Women's Day. Yeah, because so they reference it. Yeah.
But so people blow my phone up and hit me on Facebook. As I get up, I tune in and clue in and try to catch up. And the first thing I thought, just being a radio veteran, I was like, oh, this was staged.
Right.
So people just mad at me, furious. I go to work my other job. They're like, I'm Team Danny. They shouldn't have never did that to her.
Hashtag
and she was unawares. Yeah, then da 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 da. And I was like, no, they probably set that up. Mm. No, you can't say that.
You're a hater.
Yeah,
you're a hater.
And then what do I read today? A statement about it was a radio prank gone wrong. That's how it's being labeled.
Ooh.
I was like, wow. Yeah. No, okay.
Did you see that?
But let me say, no, I didn't see today. I saw Quick come out and say it. See, so let me go in my thought process.
Okay.
My cousin later that night texts me, Danella, did you hear about this? My first thought was, I didn't even listen to it. I said, well, is it real? She said, oh, she quit on air. I'm like, well, is it real?
Because that
immediately seems, not. So then when I listened to it, when I heard it, I thought to myself, now I don't know quick as in we, you know, have been by the campfire, mm-hmm. but industry wise, you know, and then in run-ins, I am aware of him. We know mutual people. Mm-hmm. I have never known him to be that kind of person.
Right.
Ever. I was like, wow, that don't even seem like him. Who he really is. Yeah, no, because yeah. I only know him as being like supportive of women, like a good, respectable mm-hmm. man. He has a great work reputation. I don't know him in any way that would be like, it just seems super petty because I felt like he's so smart that if he was going to set her up, it wouldn't be over a no-brainer like, why didn't you hire this attractive girl? I think it would be more like elaborate of entertaining. Mm. Like to me, I felt like they kind of didn't have a dog in the fight because it is her house. At the end of the day, she can say whatever she wants, you know? And so in my thought process, I was like, it doesn't seem like his character at all. And then equally, there's no guest in my experience that have ever been allowed on the radio without permission.
Yeah, tell that ever. Part. Tell that
And then
part.
The second part of it to me was the coincidence that all of the female jocks the next day were free to come in on the next day to work. I was like, well, that's good. They were all free to come in.
Well, no, they weren't free. They did their shift. Yeah, they weren't free.
No, available. But you had nothing else to do that day. You didn't have a doctor's appointment for somebody. You had nothing else.
At 5 in the morning, what you mean?
No, but I'm saying you
When the owner calls and says, I need you to come in the morning, you're doing that.
Understand you will do it, but to me, I was like, that's a coincidence.
Mm. Yeah, true.
That's all I'm saying. On myself, I was like, that's a coincidence. True. But then,
I can see that.
And I'm not saying that it is real or not real, but in my spirit of spirits, uh-huh. I saw it as reality radio to me.
Yeah.
Because this would be what we would see on television, you know, to me. Mm-hmm. And
Stranger Things have been done for ratings.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, maybe it's not, you know, but in my mind, I was like, maybe it is. And then when Quick came out to say what he said, which was, and I felt bad for him because he had to turn his comments off. And all I could see, because he would get so many likes, and then now he get just a little bit of likes compared to all the likes he was getting. Now it's no comments. And I was looking and I was like, it seems like it just kind of got a bigger negative response than they thought it was going to be.
In the total opposite direction.
So now you're saying that they came out and admitted it?
Didn't you see that being the case when you know what the subject was?
But I don't know if she was supposed to quit. Like, I don't know. Did she?
She did quit.
I know. I mean, like in the skit. Because I've had this happen before.
Well, according to...
where sometimes people get too much in the movie. You're like, we weren't supposed to go that far.
Right, we wasn't.
When did that happen?
Well, according to, you know, you never could trust tweets and Instagrams. But according to the main host's wife, who's very vocal on social media, she was like, you knew what time it was. Like, y'all had agreed for you to get emotional and storm out.
Oh.
I saw that.
So you saw that on social media.
Wait, but did the station admit? Okay, so now it's just that one of the co-hosts is saying, hey.
No, that's the co-host's wife.
Yeah. Quick came out and said
the same thing.
You guys didn't read Quick's.
No, I saw that. Yeah.
Okay,
said,
so
we
Quick
agreed upon.
Right, she knew in the meeting that the guest was going to be on the air.
Right.
But then Danny came out and was like, "No, I didn't know the guest was going to be on the air." Right. And so he's saying, "I knew the guest was going to be on the air." But then Danny did come out and say that we should, like her, show them grace that they made a mistake. So I couldn't tell if what they're saying now the mistake isn't that the guest was there, but that they let it escalate to the point that the guest.
Yes,
that
needs to be clear. Yeah,
so
that needs to be clear.
So that's what they're saying. That was the problem.
So the owner, Miss Hughes, the Honorable Miss Hughes, made a statement today.
Oh, what she say?
Yeah, she. What I said before.
It was her statement.
It was a prank gone wrong.
Did she say she was in on it?
No, she just said it was a series of unfortunate events and.
Wow, that's crazy.
I just don't think she knew at the time when she chimed in. She definitely knew.
No, she had to have known. Listen, if you're in a more, having worked on morning shows, right? If you're in a morning show, your producer knows and the station
knows. No, I'm not talking about Danny. I'm talking about Miss Hughes. Kathy Hughes. Yeah. Miss Hughes.
No, I'm saying the owner had to have known of the state. How do I say this? That usually your program director is in on your morning meetings or knows what you're doing. You're on a morning show. Mm-hmm. So it's like, hey, here's what we're doing today. Here's the rundown. It's written. Everybody got notes. The email's out. Yeah. Normally,
Not all the time.
You don't think that that happens?
Not all the time.
So you don't think they notify the program director, our guest?
No. Now, they might know if they have a big guest.
Happened, you don't think that they notify the program director, hey, we did have this, this is a prank that we're doing? When the program director was like, hey, you're off the air tomorrow. You don't think Quick was like, yo, it was a joke?
Yeah. At that point, if that was the case,
which is coming out to seem like it is, then I think he spoke up, as you know, you would, just protecting yourself, sticking up for yourself.
So maybe that's why he was suspended, is because this was a bad joke.
But no, but to me, it's like, why would you suspend me? If he was suspended, why would you get suspended if you say, look, this was all, we all were in on this.
Yeah, we all were in on it, yeah.
So her walking out was, it was no discrimination or no neglect here.
The most unfortunate part, and I'm going to be real, the most unfortunate part is how everybody went in defense mode the next day.
But people start shooting at each other. But people still are in defense mode.
Because
post him saying that, I haven't read what people have said since Ms. Hughes spoke out, but I think immediately people still are like, because she was so convincing. I do want to know.
Who was?
Danny.
Yes.
That it seems so real. And I just want to be like,
if
now.
If she was acting, she's good.
But she needs to drop a mixtape, a new reality show. Like, I want to see book sales to the roof. Yeah. What is the next thing? If she did such a good job.
But like I said, you know, they kind of shooting at each other on social media, lightweight. And the unfortunate part about that is, you know, if we see the following week after the aftermath, and the women who were team her question her credibility moving forward. I mean, that could be very damaging.
That could be detrimental.
Yeah. Ultimately, if she
comes out and says this.
But can I do want to say this. I don't even know if I want to tell the story. This was not planned. But I've had a similar situation where it was a radio prank gone bad. Mm-hmm. It never aired. But it really went bad.
Oh, wow.
With people y'all know. Oh. It went real bad. Mm, no, you would never hear. That. You would never hear.
Mm. This was back at KYS?
Yes. Did I tell you about it? Involving a knife?
Oh. Yeah.
I did tell you. Okay. Yeah. It involved a knife. And it went really bad. But my point is.
You never looked at the phone like
a knife.
I just want to be clear. Yeah. But here's the thing, though. When we had a radio prank gone bad, it wasn't like people who were involved came back to work because it really went bad.
And so there was a level of,
I came back with a knife cat.
Right.
And it's a hard time. I mean, you know, I'm saying we still, you know.
Yeah, cool.
Oh,
now.
You came back with the knife.
I could give so okay. I'll tell some information without telling information.
Let that go.
All right. So what had happened was
a morning show or a night show?
A night show. Okay. So you know anything can happen at night.
Okay. Yeah. True.
Said person was working on the show. Uh-huh. Said person was supposed to be out of town. So we in the room, it's me. You remember Jen? My friend Jen, she was a producer on the show.
Yeah.
White and Indian girl. Yeah. She don't know about this hip-hop life. I just got to put that out there.
Right.
Massachusetts living. So she trying to take notes, make some order of our ruckus of a hip-hop show. So she's standing there doing the notes, getting it together. The DJ is in the, you know, Trini mixing in the background. He's, you know, we're in the mix. I'm just looking at what we're doing, sitting down. A man comes in with a ski mask on, holding a knife. Says,
nobody move.
So I love Matlock Murder, She Wrote. So two things come to mind. First, that's the kitchen knife from when we do cakes because it got the handle. You know that little dumb cake cutting knife?
Yeah.
So that means that person had a key card, had to go to WYCB to get out the knife and bring it here. Mm. So this person knows someone.
That was a lot of
thinking. Yeah, that's a lot.
But that's how women go. We get that really fast. Plus, oh, I forgot to say, he ran in with the knife and grabbed my friend Jen by her head and her neck and said, no one move. I forgot to add that part
in.
So I recognize the knife, so I say, we know him. So he had to have waited to get Jen. So I say to Jen, are you okay? Jen says, no. I said, great. Drew called 911. So Drew has access to the board. We joke about him being fat fingers. Why he mess up 911? Yeah, he was like, sorry, can you fix my camera? Sorry. He's like, and he misdials. I'm like, Drew is 911, right? So the male co-host happens to be out of the room. I'm looking back, knocking on the DJ booth to Trini like, 911.
Right.
If it is a joke, it's going to end immediately. Yeah, if it isn't a joke, we're going to get police here immediately. 911.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, so now he's still holding the knife. Prince George's County, 911.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then I'm like, So then Jen and her have taken self-defense lessons.
Oh, shit.
I forgot the male host was there. And I'm going to tell you why I forgot he was there. Because of this next move.
Okay.
Oh, God. So he's next to me here, the male host.
Shit, right?
Yes. Jen drops Luke limp body on the ground, right? So I rush to Jen because I'm like, this is the time we attack.
Right.
If she go limp, you can't hold a dead body up.
Right.
So she
dropped
because he's distracted on
That's
the 911. I rush towards Jen. The co-host rushed behind me to hide behind the board. Drew jumps back. Yes, he did. Now I'm like, I'm just going to take this man with this knife. And that's when the door opens and the friend of the said person says, X person, snap out of it. And he slams him up. Snap out of it. Takes his ski mask off.
And
it's, yo.
He was deep in character.
Sweating, looking like a maniac. Like, I was so here's where we are, guys.
So when he took the ski mask off, you knew the person.
Yes.
He was our host.
Oh, he was the main guy.
Nah.
Oh, and the
he
other
was.
One.
I'm not gonna say what his job was, because then you'd kind of know who he was.
Yeah.
He was a part of our team who was supposed to be out of town.
Got it.
What happened was between us, and I'm still kind of cool with this dude to this day, you know, but it's tough. But what I realized that one, you would never do that to a man. You would never do that because a man would knock you out.
Right.
Two, not necessarily.
If you let me say, if a man grabs you,
me, I'm different.
All right, fine. But still, okay,
guy,
but let me say
a
this.
Guy,
he didn't do it to
course.
The male host. He didn't do it to the male host because I know he would think maybe I would get fired. You ain't going to do that to me, right? Mm-hmm. I guess to me, I felt like, you know, I got Southeast in me. I'll take it back to the old school, right? In my mind. And then I feel like you do this to my friend, one, because she's, like I said, Massachusetts born.
Mm-hmm.
Two, because she's the producer who's always kind of egging everybody on to be professional. Hey, show up on time. Mm-hmm. Hey, you're not prepared. Hey, this. And then you guys are having beef.
Mm-hmm.
That's a coincidence.
Oh.
You guys are always having beef of, hey, you're not prepared. Hey, did you come in on time? Hey, did you do this? But that's her job, is to check and balance her. And coincidentally, she gets pulled by the throat with a knife. And as a woman, you don't know what another woman has been through.
Right.
You don't know what.
She could spaz there.
But then also, so you, at that time, the statistic was 1 in 3 women had been raped, right?
What?
Yeah, that's the statistic at
the
that time.
The current statistic?
I think it's still the same.
1 in which?
3.
God damn.
That's what, see, and when you think about it, date rape, you don't know what a woman has gone through.
True, that's true.
You don't know what her friends have gone through. You're going to grab her. And so to me, it is a no-brainer what needs to happen next in this. I don't need to say what needs to happen. But that situation.
You're supposed to be out of here.
In that situation, I had to say, and I'll say it because I don't think he knows, but I was like, I need you to understand that either this man stays, which is cool, and then we both go. Because I didn't tell y'all, the police showed up.
Oh, yes.
You can't call 911 and say, I'm sorry. Hang up the phone.
I take it back.
Because this is the other thing he said. Hey, there's someone here with a knife.
Yes.
This dude still didn't snap out of it, okay? There's someone here with a knife.
Oh, so he heard them calling the police.
Yeah.
Right. I forgot to say, when you're on radio and you press call on the phone, it comes in the speakers.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
We hear, the people out there can hear because it's over this loudspeaker saying, hey, Prince George County 911.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're at the radio station. There's a man here with a knife.
Right.
Then
the
other guy comes and snap out of it.
Yeah.
Then there's a dead body drop. It's like all this stuff happening. And you think the cops ain't going to come?
Yeah.
So the cops came. And I've never told this story before in public. But when the cops came, I ended up saying to the co-worker was like, yo, but it's a joke. And I said, are you effing? I looked at him like, I'm going to have to be patient because you don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
I said, if you hold a woman by knife point for a long period of time, right? I wasn't immediately alarmed because I knew we had to know this person. So I was like, you know, our race of people usually don't do these types of killings. like in real life. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, so already I'm like, this is probably more.
And he got into the studio. It's
he
like,
got in the studio. He got a key. I see complexion happening. Yeah, yeah, I'm like, eh, you kind of
like you're
in
thinking
our mix.
Like this is crazy, but it's not.
And so, but it could be. But it could be. It could go rock.
Yeah, yeah. But I still felt it kind of wasn't in that. I recognized the knife, and he had to have a key card to get in. Mm-hmm. So somebody let. You know, I can catch you. But the fact that my friend said I don't feel safe. Mm-hmm. She not from. Yeah, I told you really, mass life. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She didn't know this life.
Going back, did she go limp on purpose or did she pass out?
Yeah, she put a move. That was
her
move.
That was her move. Yeah. Because what you learned, okay. Self-defense is make your...
Do it again. Do it again. No, do it in the chair. I like that.
I need you to know. So it's like a person can't hold dead weight.
You can't. Yeah.
A person can't hold dead weight.
Yeah.
You gotta go limp. And when you go limp, if your crew with you, we go ride in, take this person down. Right. FYI, if y'all ever in a crisis situation, go limp.
Go limp.
And let these people come in.
You tell all the people that might be the people that
no, but they still you can't hold a person's body weight.
Okay, so let me go back to another point. Let me go back to another point.
Don't kill me. Okay. It's like this. He holds him with his arm around his chest. There's a knife. Head like holding her like this. And if you go limp, a person can't hold you up.
Okay, so when you said a man, like say if he did it to the host.
To the host.
Like that man that host that hid could be the same man that would freeze if he had the knife on him.
Right, but I'm saying but afterwards, my thing is...
It's not just a woman thing.
No, but I get her point. Y'all wouldn't even thought to have done that because this is a prank.
That's my point.
You think you're going to get away with it because it's the girls in the room.
You picking the weakest person technically in the room in your mind.
Okay.
You picking somebody not from this area. You picking somebody not in this culture, so to speak, in your mind.
Yeah, you wouldn't even thought to do that to the main guy.
You wouldn't do that to the main guy. Yeah. And so to me, to the main guy was, I don't even understand why we're having this conversation. One, we could all lose our jobs for this, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You got the police coming in on a prank,
yeah.
right? Y'all mm-hmm. could lose your job because you have to pay for the police for these calls. If mm-hmm. if they show up and it's a prank, you usually have to pay for that. That's the first thing. But two is if it happened to you, if it actually happened to you, we wouldn't even have a conversation on is this person sane enough to stay here. No disrespect, he's an amazing guy. We're not saying who this person is, but I'm saying you wouldn't think like, oh yeah, I need to have this guy here. You'd be like, that's crazy. It's not even a conversation. And so it did hurt me as a woman that I had to explain one, as a woman, why this is not okay.
Yeah.
Two, like, we not safe. We are not safe. He came in, and it's we. He didn't do it to me, but as the woman host, I have to be respectful to all the women. Can you end that too? Sorry.
That's husband.
No, that's my... His sister, she wanted FaceTime the baby. But anyway, she should be watching on Facebook.
So did they get nobody got fired? And was it tense working together after that?
So what happened was, it was literally, you don't have to make a choice. The choice is made for you. He comes to work tomorrow. That's cool. We won't. Because we can't. You could do whatever you want.
The main host wasn't in on it.
No.
Allegedly.
Because he hit.
But he couldn't have been hit. No, he wasn't. And he's my homie, too. So, yeah, he wasn't in on it.
So when you say we're not coming, you're talking about you and Jen.
Me and Jen.
Oh, got it.
So I had to explain, because ultimately it's his
friend.
He's my friend, but he brought him in on the show. And it was like a real torn situation because we were all kind of cool. But then, it's certain things that you do to people that you view as victims that then it kind of changes the shape of how you
view. So did you come back?
Oh yeah, but I, yeah, you
and
yeah.
that person.
You never heard of this story,
no, I did not.
Right?
That's what
means
I'm saying.
I came back.
So wasn't it? But look, wasn't it tense working with that person, knowing
he
that
ain't
this was
never
they
come
man's?
Back?
No.
Okay, let me say
it was his man's though.
Sorta. Okay, so I also knew the
person.
Because
now I'm looking at you across the board some kind
of
way.
It wasn't really his man in the same way. What made me look at the other person different was the fact that he hid.
Well, yes, that was
I was like, yo, something go down.
That too.
I gotta protect this boy.
Yeah, right. Up and help.
Then it was like I was mad at Drew because I was like, yo, you messed up
911.
He just messed up 911. I'm like, how you missed out three numbers? You got three numbers. Then I was mad at Trini because Trini's like, what? So I know Trini had to have known. I felt like that. Sorry, Trini. Trini's like, why are you throwing my name out there? But he was like, I just got to
He was in his mix. Trini was in his mix.
But Trini was like,
Trini was, he might not even seen what was
going on. Because he's in the glass bowl. Yes.
Yeah, he might not have seen it.
All right, maybe he didn't because he was kind of in the corner.
He probably thought.
But I was like this. Okay, you, Trini, pretend the mix. You just said DJ. Now look up at me. 911.
And I'd be like, okay, this shit's fine.
No, 911. 911. I'm like, that's cold. 911.
Like, on some new shit.
Yeah.
Man, well, that's what happened. That's what happened. But it was just, anyway, the reason I'm telling this story is that was definitely a prank gone wrong. The prank was supposed to be, I'm going to pretend to hold them hostage. Mm-hmm. He went too far and held a knife to someone and couldn't break out of character when the police were on the way on speakerphone saying, what is the emergency?
So how did it play out when the police got there?
I was like, ask me and I'm telling. That was my face, but I was like, but I'm not no snitch.
Right, so
I'm torn. I'm sitting here torn, but my face is like, something went down. Because I'm literally looking like, I ain't even going to look. It's what these dudes, they
There's a knife in the room.
Well, because that person was told to go home before the cops came.
Okay.
So he was no longer there. And so then it would be like, now we're pressing charges.
That was a missed opportunity, yeah.
You know, all that's going on. And I just felt like,
and was that about 10 years ago?
No,
more than that.
Because yeah, I feel like more than that.
I feel like it was ahead of its time because now that would have been good radio.
Oh no, that would be reality.
It would have been.
Snitching would be you'd be a hero. You'd be a hero.
I don't know about yeah.
Then when when we was on the morning show, when I was on Russia's show, we did some pranks, and I'm trying as you're telling the story, I'm trying to think of one.
But they knives and
well.
Did they involve knives?
But we
God, I don't think that's not a good prank.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like that. But we did simple stuff. So Russ used to carry a clutch, a man purse. He's one of the first dudes I had ever seen with a legit purse? A legit clutch. Mm-hmm. That's what he called it.
So we used to clear it up. No, it wasn't a purse. Because I have a clutch and it's a purse.
We used to roast him. We used to roast him saying it was a man purse. But he had all his vitals in there and all his important effects. And
was it leather
bound?
So we
would just, yes. Okay. It was very nice, very expensive.
Yeah.
But we used to just misplace it and hide it and steal
it. So why was y'all touching it?
But that's...
y'all was hiding it on purpose.
Hiding it or whatever. Yeah. This is like off air, you know what I mean?
Right.
He was spaz because everything was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he's always, you know, he's a mad scientist, so he's always setting up his next move or whatever. So he either got to call somebody or... he'd be thinking of an idea, and he'd be sitting there, and you'll see him start, and we all over here acting like, you know what I'm saying, we over here like this, and he'd get to looking, next thing you know, he tearing the room up, so we just ignoring him, and he's like, he'd be like, stop fucking playing, he's like, where's my clutch, and we just laugh and make fun of him, but it was like, that was the extent of it on most occasions.
Yeah, there have been some things we did with artists. That's an easy prank.
That's mild prank.
But like an on-air stunt, I don't remember something where I just can't remember.
Let me say the reason I brought that up is because I in my mind felt that if you really feel violated, you can't work with the person.
No,
again. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like the trust is gone. If you feel really violated,
so circling back to that,
I feel that if she says now that we need to look with grace, then let's look with grace and understand that she doesn't feel the violation that we. Heard it felt.
Right.
She doesn't feel that same way. She's like, you know, people make mistakes.
Right.
And so maybe it's not to what we were feeling. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because to me, I can say having been in a prank,
right.
The knife wasn't on me, but I felt violated.
Yeah, because you felt a part of the situation.
100%. Yeah. And I put myself in that boat and I was like.
And that was your girl.
We can't condone this type of behavior if for so many reasons. One, it's unprofessional. And two, I just feel that if it was done to another man, it'd be a different conversation.
Yes.
Like you threatened my life. Like that's literally what we're talking about.
So
in my prank.
So let me bring up something quickly. You talked about that if it was a man. You wouldn't have thought twice about that.
I don't think he would have
said person. I want to talk about workplace equality because this whole International Women's Day. And it's touchy because I have an opinion on it that I know
is very
controversial.
My gosh, what is it?
So help me understand.
Mm. Right.
Help me understand when it comes to gender inequality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women, black girl magic, independent woman. Like when you tout that and stand behind that and shout that from the rooftops.
Yes.
Are you overcompensating?
Because
it seems like the moment something happens, you immediately become the victim. Like 1 minute in a lot of these scenarios, you're empowered, you're powerful, you're Wonder Woman.
I understand your question.
And then something happens, and then it's Sister Circle, Kumbaya. I mean, they were playing We Are Family the next day, like the Sledge, Sister Sledge joints. We are family. Everybody was holding hands, and it was like, women hear us roaring. We're women. But the moment before that, super strong, unbeatable, nothing can stop me. And then, but immediately, victims. This is unfair.
What you're
women
missing,
are treated differently.
Missing,
help me understand.
I'm gonna tell you, because what you're missing is, as women, we're mostly victims all the damn time, and you dudes don't know about it. And so, what happens is, when something does happen, it allows us as women to connect. Like, more of us have these stories.
I shouldn't have to.
That's why I realized as a woman, I had to explain to him. Y'all were shocked to hear 1 in 3 women were raped.
I'm like, how y'all
not know this? But these are facts women know.
Yeah, yeah.
And even if we think back to Dave Chappelle, his in a Netflix special, he said this, and I thought it was crazy. He talked about working clubs with these drug dealers were paying him. And I think he had $5,000 in cash, not ruin the joke, but he was like, I have $5,000 in cash, and I had to go home with this backpack full of cash.
Oh, it was 50. Yeah, yeah.
Was it 50? Yeah. $50,000, even more. And he was just saying how he's riding on a train in Brooklyn, and he was like, this like having a bag full of, you know.
No, he said, now I know what it feels like to have a pussy.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that, that's what he said.
Pussy ain't want it.
No. But he's saying.
No, everybody don't want.
Here's his analogy. Is I feel safer with this bag of money than what a woman must feel like riding on a train by herself.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I'm telling you is, I'll ask you both, what do you do on a daily basis to protect yourself from sexual harassment? What do you do? Crickets. What do you do?
Because I don't get
crickets. But for women, we have to protect ourselves.
Think about
that. We have to worry about, when I go to this meeting, like you made a joke, is your husband going to get mad you sent so close to Lazy for the us to be able to do this FaceTime? I'm like, nah, he wouldn't be. I'm not FaceTime. What is this? Facebook.
Yeah.
I was like, nah, he wouldn't feel that way. But as a woman, we do have
think about
mm-hmm. how close. You never have to think, I can't sit this close to Danella. Mm-hmm. You never have to think that. I can sit this close to you because I know you. There's already rules circulating in my mind.
Right.
If I didn't know you that well, I would sit like this.
Right.
Okay,
right.
To protect,
create. Yeah.
And so what men don't understand, right, is that Me Too movement is just us vocalizing what has already been there for years.
Okay.
All of us have stories. I think what separates some of our stories is us feeling that we weren't powerless, meaning a lot of people give in because they feel powerless.
Mm-hmm.
I'll quit a job.
Right.
I'll walk out of a job. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think for other women.
Most women can't or wouldn't.
Right, because you feel like, this is my whole livelihood.
Right.
What am I going to do?
So
you are, and you keep quiet. And the truth is, if you ever tell, look at me. I'm not telling that. I'm still protecting this person that did this to my friend that held a knife to her.
His name. Hashtag say his name.
No.
Right.
Don't say his name.
So anyway, Zoe knows what's good. So yeah, that's the thing, is it's so hard. We always protect said people because we're like, we gotta let them learn. But the truth is, what I think men don't understand is that this is always happening from the time you are a little girl. Why do you think women go to the bathroom in packs?
We
want to just get makeup and gossip? It's also for safety, because things happen to you. You're never like, Zoe, I gotta use the bathroom, you gonna come with me?
Right.
Never happens.
If he asked me that, I'd be thinking this.
You would be scared. So then when a woman is victimized, then we need to, as sisters, to unite to bring strength to her. So to you guys,
it seems
like
overpowering.
But that's a good question, because
I
think a lot of men don't. Because even in the I brought up that scenario again because I had to explain to my coworkers how this isn't right, more so because she's a woman. He could have overpowered her, and I had to explain it, because for men, y'all don't necessarily live that life unless you got a mom that unfortunately has had something like that happen to her, or a sister, unfortunately. It's not until you're victimized that you start thinking
about. But men are victimized in physical ways and sexual ways.
Emotional
ways. Like, and I'm not trying.
I shouldn't belittle your emotional hurt
by
patting you on the back like I am. But
I'm not trying to compare the two, because like what you just broke down is all the way 100%.
Yeah, all the way.
You know, like women are, you know, assumed to be the weaker
constantly
species, but they're not.
Right.
And so this is what I think.
And that's what the movement is. It's like, hey, we're not.
But you know what? But sometimes it's also that also has to do with women, right? So, like, you know how bitch is thrown around, da da da. Like, certain words are thrown around, right? And pussy is one word that's thrown around.
And all for some women.
Yeah, what, like, a man, I call another man pussy. Like,
oh, you're right. That's negative.
You soft.
You soft, right.
But first of all, why is it negative if that's what you want? Right? Mm-hmm. If that's what you go after as a man, a heterosexual man.
Why is that
a negative thing? And then another thing, why is it weak when it is what children, if you don't cut the stomach, you know what I'm saying, is coming from? That's not a weak vessel.
Okay, let's just say, that's how a woman naturally has a baby.
Right.
All right,
so
that's
what's
your
weak
natural
about
way.
That?
It is the strongest thing. It bleeds every month. It comes back fighting strong.
Yeah, I don't get that part.
It births the world. And that is the, I want to say, programming, brainwashing of us.
It is.
And so when you're seeing all this anger happen, understand we've already, it's been anger. The only thing it's doing now is just allowing us to get it out. And what I hope to make change, because what my bigger question is, and I did this on my podcast last week, it's how in this women's movement that we're in now, we need to do this movement without alienating men. And so I'm glad that you asked your question,
because
you're not against
Kathy
us. People
she
get angry at you for saying, I don't get it. And I'm glad that she did. That's
she
an
did.
Important role for more women to take. Because I feel that as we become equal, it's important for us to have balance.
Right.
And we can't.
But I think in this state, it's in its infancy now. And the stage it's in now is completely alienating men, because the men are the perceived purveyors, the perpetrators.
Monsters. They're the monsters.
So right now, with everybody coming forward, the guys, the men are the bad guys.
No, but like, I think you got to call a spade a spade. If you're a monster, you're a monster. And then we also have to punish the people who are blaming people that haven't done it.
Yes, I agree.
It needs to be equal.
It on all sides, it needs to be equal. And I'm so glad that we're having this conversation, because I feel that the more that the scales become balanced, you know, because one of the things you started with was people get mad when I say this. I'm not mad when you say it, because I understand you don't understand. So why am I angry for what you don't understand?
Because we've been conditioned
to. Don't be angry at ignorance.
We've been men have been conditioned too, and I'm going to be on some caveman shit right now. So I always try to understand, you know, they say women are smarter. They're just the smarter sex. But then on the other side of that coin, they'll say, you know, but men are always taken advantage of. She got taken advantage of, or taken advantage of, or he was with a younger girl, taken advantage of. But I thought you were smarter.
So
how do you get into those situations if you're the smarter sex?
I think the real problem is that we need to accept men and women as what they are, and that they're different. You guys have different strengths. One of the things that a great friend of mine explained to me was that that makes a man brain function the way it was. I'm gonna make sure I'm gonna say this in a correct way, because it's about to be like, what you mean our brains work differently? But legit, like, hormones make a big difference. One of the reasons why firefighters are very successful, all the women firefighters, don't get angry, is that men can see a fire burning building and think, go in, rescue. Women are going to do what I did in a crisis situation, which is I acknowledge that knife was from the kitchen. I know you had to have a key card. All that, even if I did it fast, takes a second.
Multitasking.
We can multitask better. Yeah. But in a crisis where I just need you to perform this one job, which is save people, I might get to the burning building and think, do I have enough oxygen? How tall is the ladder? Even if I do that in one second, that second could be life or death. Right?
Overanalyzing.
It can. We can do that. No disrespect to anybody. Please just flow with me.
Right.
And so to me, I see that we as women have some strengths that are great for some things. Mm. And men have other strengths that are great for some things. And I feel that the problem is when we say women are smarter. Period. Then you're setting yourself up. All of us are setting ourselves up for, well, there are times that we do need help.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
Yeah.
So then another thing is to say to a man, how hurtful is that? If we always telling you, you're not smart, then you're going to use the pussy word to degrade us.
Right.
To get your strength back up.
Right.
And so for me, I'm more in the world feeling like we got to promote balance and understanding.
Yeah.
It's not about let's be better and put these down.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And equally, like, you guys have to let us rise up, but don't see it as us rising above.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, see, with this Me Too and Time's Up and all that, my fear, and it's a funny fear. My fear is that women are going to have to start being the aggressors with respect to relationships, because guys are going to be scared to shoot their shot.
That's not new.
No, I'm talking about wholesale. Like, it's going to be, it's going to completely reverse because dudes are not going to shoot their shot. No,
well, see.
Because any, we're conditioned from
especially in professional settings.
Yeah, we're conditioned to pursue and blah, blah, blah. Like, we deal with rejection every day on a level y'all could never
that's
even relate
true. That's
to.
That's true. That's fair. That's fair
and
to
we're
say.
Taught to come back and do it again. So
that's fair,
it's going to get to a point where I can't compliment
and
you.
It's almost that a woman wants you to try more
than because
once.
She's been conditioned too, because society, right.
That's the programming that we're talking about.
Be persistent. Right,
But now, I compliment you, you look nice today, or da-da-da, or we're going to hang out, get something to eat, or whatever. All that's like...
No, stop playing, boy.
But all that's borderline offensive now. Yeah.
Okay, let me say this.
You're losing your job and your career
now. So let me say, for clarity, guys, I'm going to gander out there based on all my work experience on all the jobs y'all said I had.
Yes,
when I come to work, I don't want to necessarily talk about a date.
Right.
So our brains work differently.
Right.
Our brains work differently. And I have been in those multiple conversations on multiple jobs being like, yo, I just want to do the job. Mm-hmm. And when we get off work, maybe we could talk about other things. But literally, I just want to do the job. Mm-hmm. And so to me, the language is on your job, you should focus on your job.
Yeah.
It's not so much focusing on the date. So if you're talking about shooting your shot, most women don't want your shot on the job.
Yeah. I don't think that's true.
Yeah. No.
See, I don't think it's most.
I know. Okay. I want to say this. Not that women don't want to date.
Right.
But if she is in the middle of she your boss, and let's say she might want to date you, and she trying to talk to you about this report that she really needs you to get done, you asking her out on a date at that time is negating her job at that time. You don't understand, you're belittling her role in this moment.
Yes. And I get that, and that's an extreme example. I'm talking about if your hair looks different, you did something different with
your hair? That's not sexual harassment.
People is losing their shit off of that.
No, come on. Let's be real. No, if I come into your office and your penis is hanging out and you're like, your hair looks great. That's a problem.
That's different. Though.
That's the problem. Okay.
Do it again. You come in there and it's
your hair looks great. Like, it's not that. Right. How's it hanging? No, your hair looks great. No, that's the problem. Yes. That's the problem.
True.
So I don't want to like belittle what the movement is. I'm saying it's real problems.
Yeah, it's real.
It's real.
What was Matt Lauer had to
lock the doors
under his desk?
Right. Pants are down.
That was for security.
That's crazy.
For security.
Like, that
but
is...
But see, a lot of people... Can I say a lot of people don't understand? Because I remember hearing men say, but I don't see what's wrong with that.
What? Having a lock?
Yeah, I heard some men say.
What?
Yes.
I mean, he wants to secure his room.
Right.
He keeps the money
in there. I was like, but you understand, if you lock a woman in, that makes her feel... Trapped.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so a lot of people don't understand that.
But why are you locking anybody in?
And he was doing
why are you locking anybody in?
Because maybe you don't.
Because they said that other people had locks. Like, in defense, they were saying other people had locks on their doors.
And maybe you don't want nobody just busting up in
there. Well, no, a lock on your door is different because you have to physically go and lock it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had
but
a little
button.
If
you're sitting at your desk,
he's a lazy creep.
And somebody walk in and boom.
He's a lazy creep. I mean,
but that's
wrong?
Like, yeah. But here's the thing, guys.
Nothing wrong with that.
Let's just think about it. Why did corporate America, let's not look at Matt Lauer. He doesn't own the building.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Corporate America you can get
they
this
They might
lock.
Not know he did it.
No, they did. I'm telling you, they said other people had locks, not just him.
But you're talking about the culture that exists.
That's my point. We
got
to change the culture.
Yes.
The culture.
Yes, and I think the Me Too movement is building to do that.
Right. Like, that's literally what it's doing.
Yeah,
right.
I really think it's bringing awareness because it's a lot of guys that's been walking around like, oh, I didn't even know that was a bad thing I was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I had to go through at work in my other job. We had to go through sexual harassment training online.
You
or
everybody?
No, the whole
agency.
Oh,
yeah, that's what they do.
Yeah,
okay,
recently,
okay. I was making sure.
Recently.
Okay.
And there was some stuff on there, and I was like, oh, for real? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean?
Wow.
Because we don't think about what constitutes harassment or you make me feel uncomfortable. But at the same time, like you said, though, that can be manipulated even still.
Yeah.
Because you could have dealings or dalliances with somebody at your job, but the moment you declare that any of that was unwanted, and you come forward with that, it's a wrap.
But this is why should not...
Yeah.
It's a wrap.
Yeah.
There's a couple problems. One, you're right. if a man is accused, he shouldn't be automatically guilty. I just want to say that right, period, mm-hmm. right? That shouldn't happen. Yes, however, if there is this culture that's been supporting it and we all know, mm-hmm. I mean, usually it's not a one-off. Like a harasser usually mm-hmm. That's harass, habitual, it's happening over and over, right? That's usual. And so to me, it's more about changing the culture, but also educating the men to understand mm-hmm. because you don't realize, like a lot, I have so many stories about people we all know mm-hmm. that's normal behavior for them and they're not realizing yes. that's sexual harassment.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so we do need to talk about it. So I think it's important not to belittle and what sexual harassment is it a compliment?
Now in 2018 was it's not different. Sexual harassment.
No.
And how do you say that? What's different now?
Well, I mean, technically, yes. But in mentally, like how we thought of sexual harassment, it was not the same 15 years ago.
What's different that's true now? Though. No. Okay, I'm telling you that
even for women,
to yeah. us, it yes. felt the same. No, that's how I feel.
No, but I'm talking about
maybe it didn't.
So what specifically now is something that stands out as different?
Because the culture changed.
The culture's changed. People are more aware of what falls in that category.
Yes.
So to me, I can remember when we first all started working together, mm-hmm. I never knew that sexual harassment wasn't understood, right? Because we was back in the day. So
right.
I started... 2000, maybe 99.
We was all young, yeah.
But
yeah.
I didn't realize the 80s was when people started talking about equality and mm-hmm. sexual harassment. That's mm-hmm. when they started talking about mm-hmm. it. They didn't have trainings like you're having. Mm-hmm. Now you can't have a job without doing your training every month because people don't know.
Right.
So to me, that was, as a youth, I was like having experiences happen and thinking to myself, well, that's harassment or that's mm-hmm. not right. Mm-hmm. I remember getting a job as an assistant and my first day showing up to work, the guy said, oh, you know how to type? And I was like, well, how did I get the job?
But that's not sexual harassment. He just
No. But that's my point of how did I get the job? Right, caveman.
He's
and so
caveman.
Anyway, right, caveman, word. Mm-hmm. But my job is primarily dictate all your notes. I literally have to type everything that we have. Yeah. So it's cool that you hired me, but it's great that I can actually do the job. And so I realized that there's no checks and balances. Now it is actual more checks and balances because the system is more corrupt. I don't think it's what constitutes sexual harassment is changed. I think now you guys are being more aware.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what
I mean by culture, because like back in the day, certain stuff was allowed by both sexes, right?
Yes.
Right.
That would not stand today.
Right. And I'm saying having been in those, a lot of those things should not stand today. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that...
No, he's saying they don't stand today.
But I'm saying back then they shouldn't
stand.
They
shouldn't have.
Either.
They shouldn't have.
But it was more acceptable.
There wasn't that culture, that Me Too culture that's present now. And I'm saying it should have been there.
Okay,
too.
Good. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
We were in
the trenches of this shouldn't be happening. Because we would have groups. Girls would have groups, mm-hmm. like how you say sister circle. Mm-hmm. That's just now a platform that you guys are being aware of. Because mm-hmm. when things would happen, we call our girls, we'll get together and cheer on, try to help her figure out how to still work in the environment.
Right.
Should you go to human resources?
Right.
Should you talk to
and
the
let's
boss?
Take let's take it back. Our first radio job was human resource. There was one person that handled all the stations in D.C.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Remember that one person? Yeah. And they didn't really come to work.
Yeah.
Remember that, guys?
Yeah, yes.
We were like, because I remember like, you mean human resource?
Yeah.
Like... What? And so, yes, the culture, the climate, and that's the only way to change it is by making it more.
So with that being said, like, let's look at Monique's situation.
Okay.
With Netflix and her comparing herself and, you know, the amount of money that she was given. And no, this is not part of the Me Too, but this is kind of like.
No, it's equality.
It's equality,
it
right?
It is. Yeah, definitely equality.
So, but when she said, okay, when she wanted her supporters and people who just was fans of her, whatever. You know what? You watch Netflix every day. You watch Netflix every day. I want you to stop watching Netflix because they didn't give me what I think I deserved. So you.
Well, she said a little differently than that, but yeah.
Way different than that.
Yeah.
Way different than that.
Yeah. But pretty much. That's what
okay,
we were
so we're talking about, I guess, what was the figure? 500,000?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then.
2 years of work. And then I didn't know she couldn't do any other work.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. Yeah. So that plays
major.
A major.
Yeah.
When she got on a Breakfast Club and said I couldn't do 2 years, that changes
but
the game.
But I don't know what that meant. You can't go do
you can't stand
up
you can't
or
do
you
stand
can't
up.
Do a special because nobody else has that. So I feel like that was either she misspoke.
It could have been. Nobody else has that.
Because sometimes when you make the deal, it doesn't come out as soon as you sign the contract. So it's from the time of the contract, not the time of the show being released. Now,
what kind of qualifier is that? You can't go tour. You can't shoot a special. You can't.
I don't know.
Yeah, because that doesn't even make sense. No, I wouldn't sign that.
Okay. Like,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If that's the case, but that doesn't even sound.
And did Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle get that same?
Right.
But that's why I'm wondering if it's just specials. Maybe it means
maybe
you can't
special.
Do
you can't
specials.
Do specials. Yeah.
I don't fully know.
Because her husband was like, well, she couldn't work.
Yeah, that's what he did say. And so then it makes it not
movies,
a good deal.
Everything.
He's been prone to exaggerate, though. So that's why I wasn't sure about that one.
But. Well, yeah. My take initially when I saw it was like, okay, let me say, don't kill me, Monique. But my initial talk, like when I saw it come out, and I was like, but why are we, you're not in the Netflix movement. Like, I don't understand, why are we giving it up? I didn't fully understand. But then my husband, though, brought it to my attention because he watches The Breakfast Club. And he was like, you got to watch this Breakfast Club interview with Monique and her husband. I love how they're a team. He always be trying to get us strong. So he's like, I love
they're
how they're
like
a team.
Like a couple of teams.
Yeah, like he's like,
do
I watch
call
how
him daddy?
They.
You call him daddy?
No, I'm not down with that.
Okay, all right.
I think that's weird. Okay. Anyway, because I've always thought that was weird. Like, I can't bring my daddy into this. But women, y'all do what y'all do.
Okay,
So anyway, so he was like, look how they really got each other back, how they work. And I understand her differently. But one of the things she brought up there, she mentioned it to Angela Yee, and it was true, is that as a woman, you do know that it's not equal. You do know that. And so when she started bringing
up... Equal or easy.
And then she started bringing up, like, well, who else is getting paid? Who else is in the running? And I was like, yeah, I didn't even think about that. So on one end... I felt that it was good that she got the truth out. Because unfortunately, when you blow a whistle, people don't want to hear that whistle.
Yeah, no, at all.
Period. Mm. Like, I definitely have experienced that.
Yeah, me too. And you get condemned for it. Yeah.
They condemn you. It's hard to get other jobs. Yeah. So when she started talking about that, I was like, she's right. She's right. At the end of the day, she is right in the sense that she has a right to put the truth out there. Mm-hmm. Where I was kind of confused was us boycotting Netflix.
Yeah,
and here's
right.
why.
Yeah.
Okay. One, because she wasn't really... invested in the beginning, where it's kind of like they did you wrong. I think the system's always going to do you wrong.
Yes,
I think you can't really trust systems,
it's
right?
It's not set up for
it's
us
not
to
for
win.
Us,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. So to me, it was just kind of like, well, you know how they roll. And so the next part of it was just, we need to know and let us follow you to where you're taking us. Mm-hmm. It kind of needs to be, hey guys, I tried to do it here. Here's what they did. Now I'm in the works. Or even soliciting, like, hey guys, I want to do another special. Let's all work together.
Yeah,
let's
make.
Like, to me, I thought, kind of, it needed to be, don't tell us what we shouldn't do. Tell us what we should be doing.
It was many,
like
many ways she could have went about it. Yeah,
I mean, I do see she sees boycotting Netflix as proactive, but I'm like, nah, people get free accounts from people. I don't think that's as proactive.
Well, when she, you know, told Tyler and Lee Daniels and Oprah to suck my dick, I think a lot of...
Did she literally say that?
Yes.
Okay.
I think a lot of the audience was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are our guys.
Those are our guys. I mean, not even just you're gonna say that, but I'm not saying that.
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Right. I don't feel that way.
I don't feel that way.
Yeah, yeah.
So when she gets blackballed in the industry, and you know how we are, our people are, you know, we ride with you. But if nobody riding with you, we're not riding with you.
Mm. Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? So when you get blackballed in the industry, and then the next time I see you, you telling me to boycott the best thing that's ever happened to my internet in my house, it's just not going to happen. Now's not a good time. Now's not a good time for us.
And the people, somebody made this point. I don't know who it was, but a lot of her fans, $500,000 is a lot.
Of money, yeah. But not for
two years
of work,
money,
guys.
I'm not
count
no,
we're not
money.
Count. We're not counting pockets, but for the fans.
I can't tell you to take that.
Yeah, but not
that.
for two years of work.
Yeah. But see, all that had came out later.
Yeah.
But
right,
just initially,
in the initial,
you telling me that you turned down $500,000, and you want me to stop doing something that really?
No. Let me defend her for a minute. If Dave at his height. Mm-hmm. When he allegedly turned down the $50 million,
right.
had told y'all to stop watching Comedy Central, people would have done it.
Yeah.
So
he also helped build up. I came to Comedy Central for Dave.
Right.
Got what I'm saying?
And you didn't come to Netflix
for Monique. True.
Yeah.
So that's what my point.
And you said Netflix is a real part of people's lives.
Yeah. Right. And your friends' friends. I'm just saying that because I'm a plus one on account. I'd be like,
I'm
didn't
tell her your business.
I'm a plus eight.
I mean, like it's no judgment. You know, that's how we get that Netflix in. But anyway, so to me, it just was more powerful that she explained it later. I think that it was important because, we are going to look at you crazy saying you turned down $500 million, not knowing. $500,000, not knowing that it's only in relation. We thinking it's one job. We're not understanding it's 2 years of work. Because one job is crazy. You'll be okay.
And they just gave a deal to the Obama. So I wonder how
did they get the deal?
I wonder. And
now, granted, it's not a stand-up special, but
they coming on board.
She got to fill away.
So they're going to be producing shows, or it's going to be a documentary?
They have a deal.
Like a deal,
I think it's like a deal to
she got
to
fill
content.
Away. She got
to
fill away.
There's no way you wouldn't.
Yeah, she got
to
fill
but
away.
But I am glad for
so
her
all the people
say
that
something.
Even thought about it.
Boycott Netflix. What do they?
Now,
oh my God.
They was like, well, I don't think we can boycott
Absolutely
Netflix.
Absolutely not.
Well, because in my mind, I'm like, is she telling her fans to go to their grandparents' house and take down their Obama picture? What are we supposed to do?
Who doing that?
Nobody is doing that.
So, in closing, Honey D, Danella C. Live.
Yeah, thanks.
You mentioned your podcast. Now,
At Danella Now.
Danella C.
That's my legal, at Danella Now. So, podcast, Danella everything Danella Now.
Well, I wasn't supposed to say your last name?
No, you can't. I still am. No.
Oh, all right.
No, at it's Danella. Not bad. Okay. No, yeah.
So, at it's Danella legit. Now is the podcast, too?
So, the podcast is Danella Now, but on social media, at Danella Now. So, yeah,
brilliant.
YouTube.
That's smart. That makes sense.
I know, just keep it together.
We didn't even know you had said podcast.
I know. I need to advertise it more.
I knew recently.
So do a podcast and a vlog. I should put it out there.
I told her I told her the same thing I tell myself and I tell you. We got to promote.
We got to promote, especially
you know, we've been doing this for a long time, and we kind of do it because it's like a release for us.
We don't
think of it like a money, like, oh, can we get people that really are into what we're doing? Can we get them to invest in us?
I'm more like, if you build it, they'll come. But yeah, I need to be like, I'm in the fields.
And Danella probably is doing it too, like a release too, but she wants it to be her thing.
To let people, because honestly, it's great to leave the network. That's why I was like, I got to be free now and do what I feel is best and put the content out there that I feel is in my heart. And that's, I'm grateful that we have that ability now. We don't need like a Netflix, for example, to give us a check to put the information out there.
Oh, I need it.
I mean, we could, but I'm saying you can still get the information out. I'm not saying y'all against checks. Checks are great. But I'm saying whatever's in your heart, you now have the ability to get that out there. So anyway.
At Danella Now. Well, thanks for sitting in with the Street Senators. As always, you know.
Thanks, guys.
And it's a reunion.
This is a reunion.
This is a great reunion. I'm glad y'all back on the air, on the internet and everything. So that's dope. Much love.
Anytime.
Yeah.
And we got to go on Danella Now.
Yep.
Yeah, get on that. You know what I mean?
That's next. Y'all can be the men. I have a lot of male viewers. Surprisingly, I really would think I would have more females, but that's not the case. So they'll be glad to see you guys.
Because they're pretty.
No, or they might not be.
They're pretty shaming you. They're pretty shaming you.
I wanted to say it's a real thing, but nobody cares. Nobody cares. They're like, nobody cares.
Yeah, people don't care about that. Like
at all. It's like, not anything.
Yeah,
anybody
if
cares
you're getting
about.
Bashed or
skinny shaming, people don't care.
Or if you affluent and rich and like you're going through something and you being cheap, like get the fuck out of here.
There's a shame for everything. Which is a shame. There's a shame for everything.
Which is a shame.
All right.
Well, thank you, fellas.
Street Senators of iTunes, Google Play. Tell somebody. And we're giving away money and prizes next episode.
What? Can I
subscribe
come?
And share this post.
Money and prizes.
Bye-bye.
Nice.